We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com. And thanks for joining me for another Grassroots Marketing here on CannabisRadio.com. Really appreciate all of you joining us. Powered by the Buzz CRM. I've been talking about the Buzz CRM for a while, and there's so many things behind the scenes I want to tell you about. There are webinars we're going to be scheduled coming up very soon to help you understand the intuitiveness, the automation, the workflows, everything you need to know about the Buzz CRM. And I'm telling you, if you get to be part of these webinars, you sign yourself up, you're going to get yourself your hands on a great deal. I can't even divulge what it's going to be, but it's an amazing deal that you will want to jump on and be a part of it. And just for yourself, find out the month-to-month for yourself about how well it does for you for call text-back features, for emails, for SMS, so much more. Seriously, if you want someone to go ahead and take your lead generation, do the selling for you, automated, AI, it can be done, and it can be done right. And that's what the Buzz CRM. Find out for yourself, learn everything about it, and very low barrier to entry. Go ahead and sign up right now, thebuzzcrm.com, thebuzzcrm.com. Go find out today. Joining me right now on the program is a co-founder of a premium cannabis brand created to elevate Black ownership and drive community impact, and also a co-founder of a wonderful nonprofit offering free education to individuals from communities disproportionately affected by cannabis prohibition. We're talking about Mud Brothers, the Minority Cannabis Academy, and I'm here with the co-founder, Brendan Robinson. Thanks for being on with me.
Absolutely, George. Thanks for having me, brother.
My pleasure. Well, I already know we're going to move off to the bat. We were just a little talking about wrestling beforehand. The fact that if people got to see on camera, there's a great wrestling belt right behind Brendan that, you know, just the instant camaraderie right there tells a lot. So Mud Brothers, let's talk about, first of all, it's explicitly created to elevate Black ownership and drive community impact within the cannabis industry. So talk to me about the motivations behind the mission. You and Stanley Okoro put this together and wanted to fuel this purpose. And obviously, first of all, where is Mud Brothers based? It's in Massachusetts, correct?
Oh, no, we're based out of New Jersey in terms of, you know, me and my brother and co-founder, Stanley Okoro.
Okay. And soon expanded Massachusetts. Make sure I'm really cool with that.
Yes.
What I know is when I look at the issues when it comes to social equity, when it comes to legacy operators and all the area we've talked about, it's always been mostly in New York. We refocused the most on it because of the programming put to get there, the conditional adult use retail dispensary program. And I never hear much about New Jersey, but what can you tell me about setting up in New Jersey and what manifested this long-term vision?
Yeah. So, I mean, as you said earlier, you know, I did all this with my partner, my co-founder, my Mud Brother, Stanley Okoro. You know, and just the name Mud Brothers, that comes from a special place. You know, Stanley and I aren't blood brothers. We're not, you know, related in that way. But we've been best friends since we were 10, 11 years old. And they kind of just glued at the hip, you know, the entire time until now. And for us, you know, before we even got to Mud Brothers, we launched with a company called 420 NJ Events in New Jersey. And we really just came out and just tried to focus on being a resource to the community, whether that was doing free expungement clinics, whether that was giving away free medical marijuana cards. Just really trying to combat the failed war on drugs that, you know, we all know about. You know, again, you know, me and Stanley grew up together in a small town called Chislehurst, about 1,500 people here in New Jersey. And, you know, just really developed our relationship, our grit, our grind, and brought that to the cannabis industry some years later. You know, transitioning from 420 NJ Events, we launched the Minority Cannabis Academy, which you mentioned. And what's neat about that is that we bring in folks from disproportionately impacted areas. And we give them a free education. We have courses on bud tending. We have courses on horticulture. We have courses on entrepreneurism. And we have courses on extraction. And it's an 8-week course, totally free. These folks come in. They get through the program. They also get job placement when they finish. And I say those two things because that's where Mud Brothers came from. Me and Stanley were faced with a dilemma going into 2023, where we're like, hey, we got this nonprofit, it's doing well. We got this, you know, 420 events company doing well, but like, where's the funding going to come from? So in partnering with AIR, we decided to launch Mud Brothers. And the cool thing about what we do at Mud Brothers, every time you buy a Mud Brothers product, portions of those proceeds goes to the Minority Cannabis Academy, thus enabling us to put these individuals through the program. Now we're over 150 graduates, and you know, our partnership with AIR has been a big part of that as you think about Mud Brothers and what it's been able to do. So, you know, it's kind of a full circle moment for us, George. You know, we call it the ecosystem, the three different companies. But yeah, I mean, that's where Mud Brothers came from, you know, rooted in the community. It's a great product, high quality product, very, very top of the line, but it also has a really good mission behind it as well.
In the area of social equity, when it comes to New Jersey, I know that, well, first of all, that there has been put in place a cannabis equity grant program within the state, a $20 million pilot program opened to conditional and annual adult use cannabis license users. And there's also an issue I saw from New Jersey a couple months ago. They reported from the New Jersey Monitor about more than $6 million collected from the cannabis taxes that have been collected since adult use came into play in 2022. Okay. It has been unspent, unused right now. And there have been a lot of recommendations for the last 3 years to the legislature, but nothing's been done with that. So even what the government's trying to do right now to offer to social equity is held back. That money's not being used. $6 million that could be used for real proper purpose. But with what you're doing with the Minority Cannabis Academy, the education and the resources you're bringing about, tell me about what you're able to go and do to circumvent the fact that government is a little bit held up right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is awareness. And I can't emphasize enough, George, like so many of our students come in on day one and like, hey, I want to be a bud tender. I want to own my own dispensary, or I want to do cultivation, or I want to do, and they go through 2 weeks of class. They're like, yeah, I don't want to do that anymore. you know what I mean? And just that level of awareness, because what we do, the first day they come in, we pretest them. That's not to, you know, make anybody feel bad. That's to kind of give them that shell shock. This is a real job. You know, this is a real industry. This is hard work. We really try to emphasize that piece. You know, we quiz our students every week. We take them on field trips to dispensaries, take them on field trips to cultivation sites. You know, folks from AIR and other sponsors are coming in and talking to them and being a part of that leadership council and things of that nature. I think those pieces are critical because, as you mentioned, you can come with a $20 million fund. You can give everybody $150,000, not everybody, but give select folks $150,000. If you don't know what you're doing, that's all for naught. You know what I'm saying? And I think that level of education just isn't there for folks that are, you know, whether you're coming up as a bud tender working your way up, or you're transitioning from another career and moving into the cannabis industry. If you don't have a good grip on all these things, man, from an educational perspective, you're not going to be successful.
Well, not just that, but also the business acumen to know not to get yourself caught in predatory loans. We talked about that a lot where it comes to New York, and the kind of loans are being put on right there with what, some 15-16% interest that is not going to be paid back. Those kind of things right there, people are not aware and not paying attention to. Before we move along, about who comes into the academy and is able to go and come in, from those that have come in to learn and to try to go and adapt and figure out what their place is to be able to go and get trained and have the resources necessary, how many of those are legacy operators that have told you that publicly that they came from the space, they want to legitimize? How much of that has been made available to people from that space to come out of the black market and turn legit?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of our biggest plights with the FDA, right? We want to find that legacy guy or gal and kind of convert them. They bring those skill sets to the legal market and figure out ways to, you know, to do this thing the right way. Yeah, you know, and it's a tough conversation for the reasons you mentioned, but I think it's important. You know, when you think about the legacy side of things, I mean, yeah, you know, it is what it is. It's been what it's been. But when you think about long term, your kids, generational wealth, setting yourself up for, you know, the unknown, getting into this legal space and leveraging the skill sets they've used in the past has been a big teaching point for us with our students. You know, we often say, you know, if you're a legacy guy or gal, you're a marketing director for a cannabis company already. It's just a matter of getting in here and understanding the X's and O's in order to run a company and things of that nature, which isn't easy. Let me be very clear about that.
No.
I think that's also a key point, too, is that, you know, we want any and everybody to be involved in the industry in some capacity, but we're also very honest. Everyone's not a CEO. Everyone's not built to deal with the headaches and the rigmaroles that come along with running a cannabis company. It's highly regulated. You know, my background prior to cannabis is in business banking. So I come from a regulated industry. I'm kind of used to dealing with certain things and compliance and things of that nature. So like, it puts me in a position of, to succeed in an industry like this because of that background. Not everyone has that, right? So like we try to get folks to kind of come into the space and leverage whatever they're already good at and come do cannabis and be great at it. You know, we have some folks that come in and end up doing marketing, started marketing firms, ancillary businesses, insurance businesses, things they're already really doing, but now they're figuring out, okay, the plant has a place for them as well. And, you know, it works out pretty cool, man. We got some really cool success stories.
The other thing, too, is has there been any talk, I guess, with the government just to do something with you're offering this academy, that the money they're trying to get put aside? Because, again, they want to go in for the government. Well, they were talking about the fact of having the $6 million they have. So any government money to be offering access to legal counsel for entrepreneurs, people leaving prison, grants for cannabis businesses, a lot of things could be used with it. Has there been any talk about where the resources come from? Are there any that come from the government that can be provided, or any kind of interaction you've had with the regulatory commission about that?
Yeah, I mean, man, you poke at a bear now, Jordan. You know, going back maybe 2 years, the CRC, which is the folks that regulate cannabis here in New Jersey, they had several calls. They talked to North Jersey, South Jersey, Central Jersey, and they wanted to really know, like, okay, what's out there to help people from a workforce development perspective, from a job placement perspective. We built the MCA for that reason. We said, okay, these guys are going to take this serious. They're going to provide some funding. Let's build this thing out. You know, like they say, if you build it, they'll come. So we built this thing out in hopes that, okay, we'll get some funding from the CRC, the government, so on and so forth. And it never came. You know, and that's honestly why we have Mud Brothers. That's honestly why we're so appreciative of AIR and the partnership we have with them. It's like, we wouldn't have been able to do our academy because we just wouldn't have had funding. You know, so it really worked out for us, in that capacity. But I do wish that there was some more support from the government in terms of these type of initiatives, not just for us, but for others as well.
Now, may I mention of the expansion of Mud Brothers going into Massachusetts through a partnership with Haze, which is AIR Wellness's top concentrates line. I want to just go ahead and get your take on making it into that market. And, you know, what was it that led to the collaboration, and what is it about Haze's infrastructure, market presence that you think would be most beneficial for growing into the space, aligning with the core values? Talk to me about that, because a big MSO being part of this and aligning with them to get yourself into Massachusetts. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, George. You know, AIR's has been wonderful since day one. And what I mean by that, they not only came in prior to even doing Mud Brothers, they were supportive of us with our other initiatives, whether it be MCA, whether it be 420 MDA events. So we knew they cared about the community well before we did a partnership with them for Mud Brothers. But getting to the Mud Brothers side of things, number one, they had a really good product. We went to the facilities well ahead of time. We checked everything out. We met the cultivators. We went to the manufacturing plant, so on and so forth. So the first box was checked. Okay, the product is fire. We liked that part. But what they did that was really different, in my opinion, as an MSO, they let us be us, you know? And I feel like in other partnerships I've seen prior, you know, that's not always the case. You know, AIR was very open to us being us, and they loved our authenticity, and it just really worked out. Where I always tell a joke where, you know, you come to a pop-up event with us and AIR, you don't know who works for Mud Brothers or who works for AIR. You know what I mean? Because it's the partnership's so tight. We're kicking it. We're having a good time. We're talking to customers, man. It's a real authentic level of relationship. And I got to give kudos to Julie Winter. You know, Julie Winter has been running this show with us since day one with this partnership. And she's just phenomenal. Going back to them, just letting us be who we are, enabling us to push the culture forward while having an MSO as a partner. And that's critical, you know, because I tell folks, the MSOs get a really bad rap. And they shouldn't. There's certain MSOs that should. But, like, to just bunch them all together and say, hey, every MSO is created the same, or every MSO has the same problems, that's just, you know, in my opinion, a little ignorant. It's been fortunate for us to be a Black-owned brand. We own 100% of our company, and to partner with someone like AYR that is in multiple states, that can produce the way they produce, that is so easy to work with and so collaborative, it's been a godsend for us, man.
So one of the programs we host here on Cannabis Radio of the last year or so is Planting Seeds, and it's hosted in part with Senator Sherry Street from the state of Pennsylvania, the Commonwealth. And one of the areas we talk about extensively on the program is social equity. And he's one of the co-writers of the bill to legalize adult use cannabis in the state. There's been a lot of talk about various reasons when it comes to how the stores can be operating, the state-run stores to operate and be able to go and have the products available, everything from social equity in so many different ways because it's so embedded into it. I would imagine Mudd Brothers logically could look into Philadelphia once it goes adult use. That would be another choice market to go in. But we always talk about, as we're getting the feedback to this show, we're always talking about the fact that New York, New Jersey are great examples that are going to be followed in some way by Pennsylvania if the state legislature finally gets to this point and the governor gets to sign this into law, because they don't have to wait for an amendment. They could get it signed. What are some of the things that a state like Pennsylvania should be considering leading up to their chance to be adult use that would make it very desirable for Mudd Brothers to jump into this state?
I mean, Pennsylvania is a sexy state. You know, even as a med-only state, they do very well already, right? That's definitely something that interests us. But, I mean, if I was going to tell them kind of what to prepare for, I think just having systems in place to really help the people you're trying to help. You know, I feel like in other markets, it wasn't really, you know, thought out beginning to end with how you're really going to kind of help these people not only be successful and open a store. That's great to open a store, but you want them to be sustainable. You want to look up in a year or two and they're still here. They're still growing. They're helping other folks. You know, kind of going back to that fund you talked about in Jersey, with the EDA gave out to folks, the $20 million.
Yeah.
Like, it's great to hand someone a check, but if you're not giving them education, if you're not giving them know-how, business acumen, SOPs, operational integrity, compliance assistance, like the right team. You know, I always talk about your lawyer, your accountant, your banker. It's like these things all matter. Right. There's so many folks that don't find out about 280E, George, till they do their taxes. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean, man? And it's like, it's unfortunate, but and I'm not saying it to be frivolous. I just think it's critical for it, whether it's PA or any state that's looking to go adult use. Get these systems in place ahead of time so that when you get to that point, you can really help these people. And, you know, you can help people achieve their dreams, you know?
Yeah. Well, think about it. The licensing fee for some of these folks, $40,000 to $50,000. And that's not coming back. That's not refundable. Then you're going into the process, say like if it's New York, obviously you'll probably see what the whole process is there, how hard it's been to get any licensed dispensaries up and open adult use in the first place, because that's been a nightmare in itself.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had the Office of Cannabis Management. Then you have the issues where the inspection process, soft opening, you got to open up a pop-up before you can actually open up the physical store. And some places are 2 to 3 years to be able to go through the whole process. And we've talked to a number of social equity operators, 2 years, 3 years to go all the way up to full-scale operational. Do you have the money? Do you have the wherewithal to sustain yourself to be able to get to the opening? Or else you have to default the license to most likely a multi-state operator by that point that'll take that social equity license and run with it.
Yeah. Listen, take a step further, man. Even before you get to your license, these folks, at least in Jersey, these folks were having to buy a building, rent it out, and pay for it while they were waiting to get their license, just to prove they have municipality support and site control. So, like, you know, like, just imagine going 12 months paying for a building that you're not even in, that's not generating a dollar.
No.
You know? So it's tough, man. It's tough. But, you know, I will say this, you know, a good friend of mine uses a quote, you know, half a bagel is better than no bagel at all. And I always tell people that quote because I think it's important in cannabis because, you know, let's say us with Mudd Brothers. For us to go out here and do our own thing and do it independently, there's a lot that comes with that, right? There's a lot that comes with that from an infrastructure perspective, from a financial perspective, that I think more folks should be looking at more collaborative efforts. More folks should be looking at finding partners, whether it's a large MSO or whether it's just multiple independents coming together to collaborate. But I think that there's not enough collaboration in the space, to be honest with you.
Actually, I want to ask too, with the Minority Cannabis Academy, the people that speak and from the folks you have that are participating on this, have you had a chance to bring up any people that have gone through that whole licensing process? Anybody that would be safer from New York that have gone through the grueling task of going through the inspections, going through every little thing, that are able to go and share their story as to what they've gone through to get to where they are?
Yeah, so it's interesting you say that. So we have a leadership council with the MCA that includes folks like Stravinsky, Chris Ball, Kate Miller from Miss Grass. So you get a little bit of everything where you got brand owners, cultivators, dispensary, like, so to your point, it's not about just telling them the good stuff, but telling them the bad stuff too. And the reality goes along with it. You know what I mean? So I think that's a big, big component of our program and why it is so successful.
I want to direct people to the Minority Cannabis Academy's website, minoritycannabisacademy.org, minoritycannabisacademy.org. A lot of one-on-one programs on extraction, bud tending, horticulture, entrepreneur, and also connect you to the Rutgers Cannabis Law and Business Program. That's great. Real quickly, what kind of certification, any kind of things you could tell us about what people are able to obtain going through the courses?
Yeah, so I mean, you mentioned the Rutgers piece, right? We had a partnership with Rutgers where they could come through MCA, and we would give certain folks scholarships to go to Rutgers program with their business law, which is awesome. And then we have the other courses, the entrepreneur course, the bud-tending course, the horticulture course, and the extraction course. So you go through the 8 weeks, yes. And you get done, you get a certificate, you go through graduation, and then we really focus on placing them in jobs if they want to. We have some folks that graduate and want to go start their own business or want to do an ancillary business or whatever. We'll kind of connect them with consultants that can help them kind of grow those businesses and what have you. But I think the biggest thing for us, George, is that, you know, this 8-week program is grueling. And I want to be very clear about that. Like it's tough, and it's meant to be that way. You know, when these folks graduate, they get these black MCA hoodies. And I always tell people, I want you to see someone with a black MCA hoodie and know right away what they are. Like, okay, I know what they went through. I know what they had to do to get that hoodie. I know what it means for them to have that hoodie. You know, like, because as fun as this industry is, I keep saying it, it's hard work. And I think that just doesn't get talked about enough. People think we're just out here smoking weed and shooting shit all day. And I'm sorry, I'm trying to curse, my bad.
No, you're fine. You're fine. I'm with that.
Okay. But you know, there's such a misconception of what the cannabis industry really is. And we try to convey that not only through our academy, but through our content, through our partnerships, through our advocacy. You know, we really want to give folks a crystal view of what this is.
Also want to direct people over to the website for Mud Brothers, mbcannabisco.com, mbcannabisco.com. And a really great line. Love the packaging. Love the look of the live resin and live rosin vapes and concentrates you also have available. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, so I can't take credit for that one, George. That's my brother, Stan, man. You know, he's been a concentrate head probably a decade now. So when we first partnered with Aaron, an opportunity to do live rosin was there. At that time, it may not have been anybody, but I don't want to say that. Like, if it was, it was a few people doing live rosin at all. And we were one of the first ones to the market with it. And, you know, so for him, that was obviously super exciting because that's something he's loved for a long time. Me being someone that's relatively newer to, I've probably been messing around with the rosin stuff about 2-3 years. But it was cool, man, because we got to introduce folks to a new way of consumption. You know, you meet so many people that think that only, you know, smoking flower or, you know, doing a vape or whatever the case may be, introducing them to live rosin batter. Showing them different apparatuses they can use to indulge and how it impacts their body and how the way they feel and things of that nature. It's been really cool. And then we came out with our infused pre-roll last year, which actually won the 420 Expo Cup last year. And that's cool because that's kind of like your entry point to live rosin. You get a 1 gram pre-roll, but massively of a 2-pack with the 1 gram pre-rolls. But it's 0.3 live rosin, 0.7 flower. So for somebody that is their first time trying live rosin, it's a great intro to it. And the probably one of our biggest sellers right now is our live rosin, live resin gummies. They're delicious, number one, and they get you where you need to be really quick. So, you know, we got them in Jersey and we'll be launching those in Mass in a few weeks.
Fantastic. And if you want to also look for a store locator, you can find out where you can find Mud Brothers products, whether it's in New York State, New Jersey, or Massachusetts, all available right now. And we'll take it from there. Brandon Robinson, co-founder of Mud Brothers and the Minority Cannabis Academy. Thanks for being on with me. Really appreciate you taking time out.
I appreciate you, brother. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate this.
We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
If you're looking for legit ways to make extra money, you've got to check out The Side Hustle Show. With hundreds of actionable episodes to choose from, you'll learn what's working now from real people making real money. Like the Utah mom who built a six-figure business playing video games, or the guy earning $3,000 a month renting out mobility scooters. Online or offline, from Amazon to your own hometown, from YouTube to vending machines, The Side Hustle Show has you and your wallet covered. Subscribe to The Side Hustle Show wherever you're listening to this podcast and increase your earning power today.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.